24th, 2014. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the cold Chicago suburbs. But anyway, the snow is melting, and it, well, we can look forward to spring, hopefully at some point. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. You may also visit spingolaspeaks.info or spingolaspeaks.wordpress.com, sites that one of our listeners created. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. In fact, if you want to get a hold of me today for any other reason, please use that email address, as I'm having issues with my regular computer. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by visiting spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Sheila Matthews, who is the co-founder of Able Child, all one word, ablechild.org, which was founded in 2001 by parents who had their own personal experiences with label and drug coercion by the education system. Sheila, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having Able Child on.
I think that what you're doing is absolutely wonderful. This is something that definitely was needed, and I know that so many parents really, really appreciate what you're doing to try to warn them and actually enabling them to say no, to really look at the prescription drugs that the doctors are foisting on our children, and looking at the dangers and wondering, well, is this something that I really want to do to my child? So thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, you're welcome. And I want to take a moment and thank all the people, the volunteers that work for Able Child and our small little staff. Without the dedication of members and supporters of Able Child, my work wouldn't be possible. So I want to thank them.
Thank you so much. And you started the organization, you co-founded it in 2001. What led you to do that? What was your experience and how did you decide to do this?
Sure. I have two boys, and my oldest son at the time was 7, and the school was coercing me into placing my son onto mind-altering drugs, onto psychiatric drugs. They told me that I didn't really have any alternative, and they were giving me very pro-drug documentation. They did not cover any of the adverse events. They never told me that I had the ability to seek alternatives. So that's how I got into this, and I've been going strong ever since.
Now, what did they diagnose him with?
Well, they wanted to diagnose him with ADD, and uh-huh. I told the school that I did not believe in ADD after seeing my now partner, co-founder Patricia Weathers, testify before Congress on the over-diagnosing and over-medicating of children. I happened to see her when I was preparing for my IEP meeting, so I basically said this ADD is not something I believe in, and I ended up having to spend about $1,500 out of my own pocket to get alternatives outside the school system, speech and language.
Wow.
So my son wasn't diagnosed.
Well, so many children, well, boys are boys. They're very rambunctious. It's normal for them to be curious, to be, I don't think it's a child. I think it's probably, the school that isn't providing sufficient activities, to engage children who want to learn, who want to be busy and active.
I agree.
Normal.
Yeah, it is normal. I mean, there are children that have learning issues, the problem is that the school system has completely bought into psychiatric model of education versus the old school of teaching reading and writing and more one-on-one. So I think parents are in a very difficult spot today, up against huge industries that have huge investments in getting the children diagnosed this way. And the parents don't have a union. Parents don't have representation up at the Capitol. And unfortunately, special interest has grown at such an alarming rate that now parents are having a difficult time standing up for informed consent and saying, I don't want this.
Exactly. And it's even before a child starts school. They are when the parents take their child to their pediatrician or general practitioner, they are even encouraging children that are under 12 months of age to be on antipsychotic drugs. One of our recent guests on this program, Dr. Linda Lagerman, said that there are 280,000 children under the age of 12 months who are on prescription drugs, antipsychotic prescription drugs, which I was just blown away to think that that a child, a baby, an infant, would be put on such dangerous, dangerous drugs.
Yes, I mean, this is an ongoing issue, and the fact is I do a lot of work in the state of Connecticut, and Yale Child Studies, which is a big avenue for the state to send children 0 to 6 months now over there for evaluation. You know, they parents don't realize that these are all unregulated studies, that they're sending their children into clinical drug trials without informed consent. You know, it's the market and the marketing of the drug companies and the psychiatric industry that are really feeding off our children. It's a real I would say an alarming human rights issue at this point.
Exactly. Now, I've heard the comment that all roads in Connecticut lead to Yale, and Yale does have a big influence in the state. And do they have a lot of drug and psychiatric drug trials going on there at any given time?
Yes, they do. In a Yale Child Studies Center, they have a tremendous amount of influence in the clinical drug trials, and they their professors there actively are commenting on different disorders, mental health disorders, and the basic bottom line is Yale works to try in the state capital to get more children into their facility.
Holy cow. Now, how do they do this? I mean, do they pay off the politicians, or do they just have some, do they hand out a lot of perks and things?
Well, actually, it's done through grants on the federal level, the state level. The grants are funding Yale Child Study Center. And they go to the state capitol and they testify on bills saying, oh, there's a tremendous amount of need for this. And then they get parents that have used Yale in the past coming up to testify. They bus people in. It's very slanted into getting more children diagnosed within in Yale. You know, Yale is an excellent place for all different types of treatment, but obviously we're concerned with trafficking children.
And that's exactly what it is. All righty, we are going to a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Deanna, and our guest today is Sheila Matthews. She is the co-founder of AbleChild.org, and you can please visit this website. You can sign up to, well, to do a lot of things. You can help, you can donate, you can get their messages, you can join the group. And so please, please do visit ablechild.org. Okay, we were talking about Yale, and you were talking about the fact that they bust people into the Connecticut they bus people in to talk to these politicians, and then the politicians go along with the drug companies. And is it the drug companies that are funding all of this, the busing and the political action?
Well, it's the nonprofit groups such as NAMI that is funded by the drug companies. Able Child is not funded by drug companies. We're funded by parents. So basically, Yale basically works, creates the legislation. They get a lot of state and federal grants for mental health clinical drug trials. So that's how they do it. And basically, where Able Child fits in is that we've been working on the Sandy Hook murder-suicide that took place, because the effect of the legislation that is coming out of the state of Connecticut is going to impact parents and children's rights in the field of mental health.
In what way? Are they going to try and put more children onto drugs because of this event?
Exactly. Basically, currently, they want to invest more of the taxpayer dollars into mental health. Meanwhile, we still are missing 5 years of the mental health records of Adam Lanza, who Able Child actually petitioned the state of Connecticut, the chief medical examiner's office, for the mental health records, which have gone missing.
Oh, that's kind of convenient, isn't it? And didn't Dr. Paul Fox also take a leave of absence somewhere along the line?
Yes, that was Adam Lanza's primary treating psychiatrist, who has destroyed all of Adam Lanza's records and surrendered his license to the state of Connecticut and has fled to New Zealand, or has left to New Zealand.
Oh my goodness. Okay, and the state examiner who you've been trying to get these records from, is that Patrick B. Kawanishi?
He's actually the attorney general. He's the state. Patrick represented the state of Connecticut up against, you know, when Able Child petitioned the state, he was the attorney general that fought against Able Child, saying that we didn't have a stake, we weren't a stakeholder, and they were hiding behind privacy rights, saying that that it is the right of the deceased to not disclose his mental health records.
I think it's imperative to what happened that these records be disclosed. And of course, the drug companies probably are influencing the state, the assistant attorney general, and other politicians in the state against releasing this information. Because of course, if the information is released, then as Patrick B. Kawanishi said, it could cause a lot of people to stop taking their medications. Which, of course, the drug companies would not like, right?
That's correct, and we question that statement as to why would, if the state is claiming that Adam Lanza wasn't on anything, why would they be afraid that everybody would go off their meds? So our issue really is to get the records released, because the state is saying, basically, because of this incident, we need more mental health spending. So it doesn't make any sense. And the investigation that was conducted in the aftermath of this mass murder-suicide the fact is that it was very sloppily done. There are more questions regarding Yale's involvement, because Yale was actually the last person, Yale Child Study was the last person who treated Adam Lanza.
And when did they treat him?
They treated him, the record that I have in front of me was, this was revised in 06, 2006. And basically, Nancy brought her son to Yale Child Studies and called them and basically said that her son was having an adverse event to Celexa, an antidepressant and anti-anxiety drug. And Yale basically said to her, "You do not, your son is not having an adverse event," when she said her son could not raise his arms. And according to the drug insert itself, basically said, if your child is having an adverse event, call the doctor immediately. So Nancy actually did this, and Yale basically said she was non-compliant.
Oh.
So instead of telling Nancy about the MedWatch reporting system, which is the federal MedWatch system that oversees adverse events, instead of informing her, saying, listen, you know, you need to contact the FDA immediately and file a MedWatch report, basically Yale said to her, you're non-compliant, and basically they said they never saw her again after that, which is very unusual because we're, again, missing all the records.
So you're attempting to get these records. What if they just put them through the shredder?
Well, I think that's a possibility, but Able Child is also has combed through every document in the investigative file. And we now have more questions because Nancy Lanza was actually last seen in Lebanon, New Hampshire, where she had a conversation with a gentleman who it seems to be a key witness, where they withheld his name as to why she left her son home alone. So we're really concerned with the story, the Hartford Current, and the investigators are telling us about this case. So, we've done a little bit of research in Lebanon, New Hampshire, eight miles from where she was last seen is a children's hospital. So we have a lot of questions for Yale, and we have a lot of questions for the state. And we are going to continue to ask them because there's a lot of money at stake here, a lot of taxpayer dollars flooding more and more into mental health. So,
right. And that's taxpayer dollars.
That's correct. And our organization, though we're small, we're questioning, what is the state hiding? You know, what is the state hiding here? And we're going to continue to hammer the state. They might shred the records. They still have to come up with these gaping holes in their investigation.
Sure.
You know, the governor of the state of Connecticut has appointed people to a panel I could tell you about after the break.
All righty. We'll be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors. Today is Sheila Matthews. She is the co-founder of AbleChild.org. And you were talking about Adam Lanza's records, and you also mentioned the Hartford Current, which in an article dated June 30th, 2013, stated that the paper had access to Lanza's medical records from birth to age 18, And yet, the state police, the official state police report, didn't have these records and didn't, and actually failed to make these records public.
That's right. And they, and there's actually, the Hartford Courant reported about a Danbury hospital visit Nancy took her son Adam to, and it wasn't in the investigative report. So there's a conflict. It's like the newspaper seems to have more information than the police investigation. You know, so it's a little disconcerting for parents to believe this investigative report. And the fact is that these school shootings across the country, Virginia Tech, Columbine, Sandy Hook, what they have in common is missing mental health records. And, you know, we can't as citizens make new legislation to get critical mental health services to our children if we're not being told accurate information. We can't make informed decisions, you know. So we're really concerned about the process in which the state is conducting business up there at the Capitol, you know.
Exactly. Are there a lot of psychiatric drug, or are there a lot of pharmaceutical drug companies headquartered in the state of Connecticut?
Yes, there are. There's a tremendous amount. I don't know the number offhand, but I know that our state is a pretty big headquarters to a lot of the drug companies. And the fact is that Able Child's mission is informed consent. And, you know, our business is to provide parents with as much information as possible so they can make informed decisions. And it seems to us that the case of Adam Lanza, the missing information is regarding Nancy Lanza, which how in Yale interacted with Nancy Lanza. I mean, we all want to get into the solution of this. We want to stop the school shooting. So we have to look at the data that was released, and it leads back to Child Yale Study Center. It leads back to the mental health records that are missing.
Right. And you mentioned before the MedWatch program, which is actually a program set up to monitor the side effects of drugs, and there are lots and lots of side effects. Anybody that watches any amount of TV at all notices that every time there's a drug commercial on, which drug companies have been allowed to commercially advertise their products since 1997, they all recognize that there are just several side effects listed with each drug, but somehow people don't really notice the side effects. They're not listening, or they've got some kind of wonderful scene where people are dancing or having a good time. And so you see, you're looking at the visual and not listening to the audio. And so people miss these side effects. And of course, doctors seem to have a lot of influence with their patients. Patients look at them as kind of demigods who are special, and they know more, and they are very authoritative. And of course, the drug companies, they get a lot of their information and schooling and education about the drugs from the actual pharmaceutical companies. So they have a stake in this process of prescribing drugs.
Right. And basically, Able Child has been working on the MedWatch program. We actually went to the state and provided them with the conversation that Yale had with Nancy Lanza and the Celexa, and the fact that she tried to report this adverse event and Yale turned her away, basically labeling her non-compliant. And we took that piece of the investigative file and we went to the state of Connecticut and we said, look, this is a great opportunity to support the MedWatch program. We went to the public health Committee, and they suggested we go to the Public Safety Committee. We did that. We went there to testify. We were the first ones to show up in a snowy day. I drove about an hour from where I'm located, testified, and basically Senator Hartley, who is the co-chair, and Representative Darkin, I sat up there to testify, and Hartley said, seeing no questions, thank you for coming. Then we found out that basically our testimony went missing.
My goodness.
Uh-huh. And this is the MedWatch program. This is a federal program that is for consumers. And after spending about all day on Friday, this past Friday, calling the committee saying, why is our testimony not up on the public, public record? Well, they couldn't answer that. I had to threaten to call my attorney, and then all of a sudden the testimony appeared, and then we were rejected by the committee. The committee said, you know what? MedWatch is not gonna work for us in this committee, and
really?
Audacious.
That is amazing.
It's a federal program, and the committee, Public Safety and Security, has rejected the MedWatch program for the consumer in legislation directly related to this mass murder suicide, directly related to Celexa. That was the last drug that was given to Adam Lanza before his records went missing. This committee said MedWatch is not appropriate for this committee. And then lost our testimony. So we are up against a hostile state that is not interested in providing alternatives to psychiatric drugs, not interested in providing informed consent. So we're very concerned. We're very concerned for the public, for children and parents. You know, you
exactly.
don't have to. And the other thing is, you could just be sitting in a cafe when somebody comes in loaded on psychiatric drugs and shoots you down.
So, of course.
You know, this doesn't, just because you're not affected on whether you want to take psychiatric drugs or not, it does affect you.
Of course it does. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. This is just amazing. And Nancy Lanza did attempt to help her child. Now, in 2006, Adam Lanza would have been, 14?
I believe so.
Yeah, at 14. And he was on that drug that time. And typically, when one drug fails to work or has side effects, they usually either add other drugs to it, mm-hmm. or they take the person off that drug and put them on something else. I mean, there are some people who are on two or three psychiatric drugs at one time.
You know, I would encourage listeners or anybody that's interested in protecting public safety to go on our website, ablechild.org, and look at our press release on another patient that came forward to Able Child of Dr. Fox's. He was 10 years old, and he was prescribed a cocktail of psychiatric drugs, which of the FDA did not approve for use in children. And this Dr. Fox treated Adam Lanza. So while we don't have Adam Lanza's records, we were able to obtain records from another patient of Dr. Fox's.
Exactly. And if Dr. Fox was in the habit of prescribing another drug or two or three other drugs for this patient that you're talking about, chances are that is also what he did for Adam Lanza.
That's right. So these are questions that the investigative report have failed to address. You know, the state's position in the investigation is Adam didn't take his meds. Adam was non-compliant. Yet the documentation is missing. The psychiatrist who was treating him has left the country. The records have been destroyed. I mean, is there a pattern here? I mean, I'm not... I'm not in charge of the FBI, but...
It sure seems suspicious to me. If everything's missing, and, well, particularly after what happened, and everything goes missing, very strange. All righty, we are going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Deanna, our guest today is Sheila Matthews. She is the co-founder of AbleChild.org. And you were talking about the governor. And would there be a huge economic impact if all of these records, these mental health records, became available and all of the nonsense that's going on at Yale became known? I mean, drug trials are using children for guinea pigs. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. I think there'd be a huge financial impact. I mean, a clinical drug trial, there's a lot of money invested in it. Not only clinical drug trials, but medical devices, and there's some cutting-edge psychiatric clinical drug trials going on right now. And it's no secret. You can just go right on the FDA. You can see that there's been some new FDA clinical drug trials approved for OCD, which Adam Lanza had, which, Yale basically said that he was severely OCD. So there's some major clinical drug trials, not only in medicine, not only in drugs, but medical devices. That would, if we don't know what we don't know. And the FBI evidently has classified the documents, you know, which is unusual. And the state, we know that President Obama has, through an executive order, has allocated millions of dollars because of Sandy Hook to detect children who are having problems. And catch them earlier and do more evaluations. So the money is flowing in, and nobody is asking any questions. And as a parent who went through coercion myself, it changes the course of your family's life. And you know what? This shouldn't be in this country that you cannot ask questions. It shouldn't be that investigative reports after a mass murder are so poorly done that you look at them and you say, how does anybody buy this?
Exactly. And the governor, Daniel P. Malloy, has announced increased funding in the state's mental health budget.
That's correct. And Able Child has been up to the Capitol to insert the MedWatch program into that legislation. The money's already there. So basically, we're simply asking, please tell parents about the MedWatch program, how they can report, and the MedWatch determines whether a drug warning is issued, a label changed, or even a drug is pulled from the market. The consumers are the real clinical trial. So it's a great program. It's really important that we get that information out. So Able Child has petitioned, sent over the head of appropriations, our language that we want inserted into all that new mental health spending. Because right now there is no other voice than the pharmaceutical and the psychiatric industry in that money.
Right. And, of course, if the taxpayers are paying all of this millions of dollars, those millions of dollars are going to go right into the pockets of the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh, that is correct. And there's no accountability. There's no audits done of grants. So, you know, Yale could be the end person that gets the money, So it's blowing right back into the Yale Child Study Center, and yet they were the last persons to see Adam Lanza. The last person is labeled this mother non-compliant, and then we have a mass murder, suicide, and we have no answers, and we have our taxpayer dollars to continually fund this. So actually, we're funding this massive increase in mental health. You and I are funding it. We should be entitled to ask some questions that are relative to how that money is spent.
Exactly. And you mentioned that Obama did go to Newtown, Connecticut, during the time that the family was mourning the loss of their children. And yet, in the media, we hear little, very little, about pharmaceutical drugs. In fact, well, we really haven't heard anything about pharmaceutical drugs being in any way, shape, or form connected to this event.
That's a good PR firm. That is a very good PR firm for the drug companies. They are able to divert attention everywhere else. The mental health aspect is the key to preventing school shootings going forward, and it is the key to protecting public safety. So if we do not ask these questions, we're not going to get the answers, you know. And like I said, the governor put together a committee called the Sandy Hook Advisory Committee. And Able Child has been petitioning that committee to be heard, to at least be given three minutes of testimony before that committee. We have not heard a phone call back. We have been excluded all along this entire process. The entire process, Able Child has been shut out, and by us being shut out, it's actually you. It's the consumer that's being shut out. You know,
indeed.
We're the stakeholders for the public. That's how we sued the chief medical examiner's office. We were the public saying, we want access to these records. So by Able Child not being heard up at the Capitol and being given the runaround and our testimony being lost, this is what they're doing to not only us, they're doing it to you. You
sure.
know, so that's why it's important that Able Child is heard, you know, and I so appreciate you having us on this radio show, because the fact of the matter is the mainstream media is telling a story about Nancy Lanza that is just not true, because we don't know. We only know what they're telling us.
Sure.
You know, so Yale saying she's non-compliant, and then her being last seen in Lebanon, New Hampshire, 8 miles from a children's hospital, raises a lot of red flags for Able Child.
Perhaps she went up there to seek help. Now, Adam Lanza apparently did not like to, well, he refused to stay in a hotel, motel, even when they had the big storm there on the East Coast. He refused to leave the house. So I can understand that she would probably leave him there at home. I mean, he was 20 years old. She cooked all of the food that he would need while she was gone, and she was gone for 3 days. Why did she go? And was it possibly to seek help because she knew that he was, vulnerable, very vulnerable?
Right. Okay. First of all, that is a story that what you just read is really the media's story.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is a full toxicology report would show what was in Adam Lanza's stomach.
They didn't do a toxicology report?
We've only seen a cover sheet of the toxicology report. So none of this is evidence. A story presented by the Hartford Courant or the mainstream media, a story is just that. It's not fact. And the fact is, we don't know what Adam we don't know where Adam Lanza wanted to stay, where he didn't, why Nancy didn't take him. The last person that saw Nancy before she was murdered was a man in Lebanon, New Hampshire, 8 miles from a very renowned children's hospital, 8 miles from a hospital. I just have to question the media's take on this. I question, first of all, the media said that Nancy was non-compliant. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe there's more to it than what the media is telling us.
Absolutely. All righty, we are at the top of our hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks, and I would like to remind you about going to the RBN homepage, where you can see RBN updates, and you will see an article about an iPhone, iPad, or Android phone. You can help RBN win $20,000, because John's wife, Sandra, is a Keller Williams realtor, and Keller Williams is having a sweepstakes. Three things happen when you download the app to your cell phone. You get to enter into a drawing to win $50,000. You help to enter John's wife into the realtor's competition for her to win $20,000, which if she wins, she will donate to RBN. And third, by downloading this app, you can search out real estate in your area. From what I understand, the leader of this sweepstakes has less than 2,000 downloads. And with the participation of the RBN audience, we can easily win this, but you have to participate. The instructions are on the homepage of RBN, right under RBN updates. Be sure and tell your friends and support RBN in this way, and also have an opportunity to win $50,000. Our guest today is Sheila Matthews, who is the co-founder of AbleChild.org. We were talking, on the website, there's an article, was Connecticut shooter Adam Lanza on psychiatric drugs? Medical examiner snubs official request for toxicology report. There's an interesting statement that he made during a press release. And he said something to the effect that he hoped that they and the people of Newtown don't have a crash on their heads later. Do you have any idea? I mean, not that you're a mind reader, but do you have any idea what that could possibly refer to?
Actually, I don't. I was stunned when I was at that hearing that he was the one who brought up the psychiatric drugs. We were seeking the records. I felt that he was ill-prepared for the hearing, in the sense that, again, we were asking for the records, and then he comes out with this statement saying that people, if they knew, would go off their meds because of the heinous act which was involved. And
now,
so,
did Carver say this, or was that the other gentleman, the assistant attorney general?
That was the assistant attorney general. Carver was not there. Carver has since retired. He there's been a lot of problems in that chief medical examiner's office. The reporting of that office doesn't report to the state legislator. It is an evidently, in my opinion, I think it has too much power. It is not regulated. And this is a very big concern because the chief medical examiner determines the cause and manner of death.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of suicides in the state of Connecticut, and if there's psychiatric drugs involved, is he reporting psychiatric drugs are involved in the death? I don't know. I mean, I've had my my doubts about the process in that office. He was not at the hearing to answer your question.
Okay, but he was. The chief medical examiner for Connecticut, and you're saying that there were a lot of suicides where psychiatric drugs were involved.
That could be involved where the cause of death could be attributed to psychiatric drugs. So he would be the decision maker in that, the chief medical examiner. So are we doing full toxicology reports? When we were at the hearing, the state presented an article from the Hartford Courant saying, see, the toxicology report of Adam Lanza was released. But on the bottom, it was just the cover sheet. It wasn't the full toxicology report. There were no lab reports attached to it. It was just the Hartford Courant article.
Okay, and you did, with former Congressman Ron Paul, you sent a petition to lawmakers and hand-delivered a letter to the state's medical examiner, H. Wayne Carver, requesting that Lanza's autopsy toxicology and medical psychiatric history be publicly released, and that has never been done.
That has never been done. The toxicology report, the full toxicology report of how and what tests were done were never released. All we received was, at that hearing, all we received was an article from the Hartford Courant saying it was done, but it was only a cover sheet. There was no documentation attached to it. So we, on the record, said this is incomplete, but the mainstream media never picked it up. They went with the Hartford Courant article. The Hartford Courant seems to be the go-to newspaper that is laying out the whole timeline, and like you opened up before, they had information, inside information that even the investigators don't have in their final report, like the Danbury Hospital visit of Adam Lanza, where Nancy brought her son to the emergency room in Danbury Hospital. And Danbury psychiatric facility at Danbury Hospital said he wasn't a harm to himself or anyone else. And this was prior to the mass murder-suicide. So something is wrong with the psychiatric records and the treatment Adam Lanza received. You know,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. What time period did she take him to the ER at Danbury Hospital?
I don't have that right in front of me.
Okay.
So I don't want to give the wrong date. But sure. The Hartford Courant had that information. The Hartford Courant ran that report. But when we combed through the investigative report that was released by the state, there was no mention of that emergency room visit.
Who owns the Hartford Courant?
I don't know who owns the Hartford Courant. I don't know that.
Okay.
But the fact is, we don't know that a lack of mental health played in any role of Adam Lanza's actions. We just don't know because we don't have the records. And the problem is that you have a mental health industry supported by the pharmaceutical money, and that is hard to beat. You know, the children are being drugged at record numbers with drugs that are not approved for children.
Exactly. These drugs are not approved for children. They are giving them drugs that have actually led to suicides during the trials.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely.
So our concern here is getting the MedWatch program inserted in the language in the state of Connecticut. You know, our Able Child's mission is not to solve this murder suicide. Our mission is informed consent. We want parents to have access to the MedWatch program. We want parents to be able to say, I do not want to place my child on these psychiatric drugs. I want an alternative. I want safer, effective means in obtaining mental health help for my child. And right now, all we have is drugs, labels and drugs. And we have an increase in suicide, an increase in mass murders across the country. And we have an investigation that is riddled with holes and makes no sense to the consumer who's paying for all that.
Indeed. All righty, we are going to a 3-minute break. We will take some phone calls when we return. We'll be right back. 3 minutes. Deanna, our guest today is Sheila Matthews. She is the co-founder of AbleChild.org. And why don't we take some phone calls and let's keep the questions relevant. Let's take, Sheila, did you want to finish off any, I don't want to cut you off in the middle of a thought.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Let's take Jerry in Chicago. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Hello, Deanna and Sheila. Thank you for taking my call. Sheila, I was wondering if you looked up any of the legislation that was signed by the, I believe it's the Connecticut coroner that was on scene, the blithering idiot when we seen him on the cameras, that basically said that child autopsies cannot be revealed as evidence or something of that nature.
I did not see that legislation in the... In the aftermath it was passed or prior to?
No, it was prior to, like, by maybe 14 months before this episode happened. And another question I have for you is, have you heard of a guy by the name of Wolfgang Halbig?
Yes.
Okay. What, do you find him at all credible? I mean, I looked at some of the questions he was just simply asking the state of Connecticut, and they seem to think that this is all national security, and they can't give this information out, and they were just basic, simple questions. I mean, what do you think of that?
Well, that's not my issue, public safety, security. Mine is informed consent and the right to refuse psychiatric drugs. I did listen to his video. I think he has some valid questions regarding the investigation. It was such a badly done investigation that everybody should have questions.
Well, there's been a few bad investigations, like 9/11, the RFK assassination, the JFK assassination.
Well, let's keep it to Sandy Hook, though.
Okay, we'll keep it to Sandy Hook, but I mean, it seems to be following a trend here, where, you know, we gotta take the official story and we can't question it. And then when we do question it, what do? They run and destroy the evidence? I heard earlier.
Well, I focus on informed consent, and, the money issue is in mental health, so it's always been follow the money for me. The mental health records, the fact that the mental health records are missing and there's a great deal of taxpayer money invested in mental health treatment in the, not only in the state of Connecticut, but throughout the country, that is my focus. Do I believe that there's a conspiracy? I believe that there is a crime being committed because it's misappropriations of funds for the taxpayer. So the taxpayer needs to be alert. The taxpayer needs to ask questions about you know, the mental health records.
Okay, well, thank you for answering those questions. You guys be blessed and have a great day.
You too, Jerry. Thank you. Now, there are some people that claim that no children were killed, nobody died at Sandy Hook. I don't believe that. But I believe that there's a big cover-up, and I think the cover-up has to do with the psychiatric drugs. Have you heard this also?
Oh, yeah, and I have to tell you, I know that Nancy Lanza was murdered. I focused on informed consent and the right to refuse psychiatric drugs, products, and services, and I work for the consumer. I'm a 501(c) organization. I think that my time is best focused on the MedWatch and best focused on protecting parents' informed consent regarding mental health products and services. It's already been a year and a half since this mass murder suicide, and if we waste a lot of time on things we don't know versus things we do know, we're all losers in this.
I agree with you. I think it's a distraction to keep us off of looking at the psychiatric drug connection.
I agree. I think that we have to focus on the solution, which is informing the public about the MedWatch program, getting more informed consent, and holding the investigators who investigated this mass murder to answer questions, whether they're in security, school security, or whether they're in mental health. That seems to be where the money is coming in, and it's our money. It's
yes.
Our money. It's our children. So we need to focus on the solution, you know, and the solution is informed consent. In my opinion, if the consumer knows about how to report, do you know that 1% of MedWatch reports are submitted by consumers? Consumers have no idea what the MedWatch program is. If the consumers filled out MedWatch reports when they had an adverse event, we would have greater accountability in mental health, because then we can log in. Let's say Celexa is causing an increased risk of suicide, and we see 10, 15 children die from the use of it. You bring more focus to that, you know, in that. And I'm just using a small number, 10, 15 children. If you maximize, you know, that number across the country and the lack of reporting, you know, I think it's a larger number of children that are dying. And I'm dedicated. Able Child is dedicated to not solving a mass murder, but we're dedicated to protecting the consumer and parents' rights.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people have had some side effects, adverse side effects, and they know absolutely nothing about where to report it, how to report it, and they often attribute those side effects to something else.
That's right. You know, and the psychiatrist can often say, oh, it's your depression, you're depressed. And after death, that's what they also do. And even in this murder investigation, Peter Lanza, the father, is saying it's dangerous to try to reconstruct what my son was thinking. Let's look. He is even saying, let's look at the records. Let's take a look at the mental health records. That's where the evidence lies. Those are facts we as consumers need to see, whether it's Sandy Hook, Virginia Tech, Red Lake, Minnesota. These mass shootings are increasing at an alarming level. What is the trigger?
Exactly. And there's a commonality between all of those, and that commonality seems to be pharmaceutical drugs, the psychiatric drugs.
That's right. And the drug companies advertise in the newspaper, their magazine advertisements, on the bottom it says you have a right to report adverse events to MedWatch. So this is our legislative effort is not an anti-drug company measure. The drug companies need to know whether their drugs are inducing suicide, inducing mass shootings. So they could either reformulate the drug, relabel the drug, monitor who's on those drugs, or pull the drug off the market. That's what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're making a tremendous amount of money. I get that. But you know what? We cannot continue to let these mass shootings go on and on, because again, even if you're not taking the drug, when you walk into that cafe or that movie theater or in that school, you send your child to on a bus to school and your child never comes home because somebody opened up fire in the school that was on four different psychiatric meds, you have a right to know as a consumer. And we have to get to the bottom of this.
Exactly. All righty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest today is Sheila Matthews, and she is the co-founder of AbleChild.org. We've got some other callers. Did you want to finish saying what you might have been saying? I don't want to interrupt your thought.
No, I'd love to hear from callers.
All righty. Let's take Brent from Ohio. Brent, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. It's Portland, Oregon, but...
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just wanted, as a logical person, mechanic and stuff, everything's always on the surface, but I think that we're forgetting about maybe the spiritual part of this, because I haven't heard anybody mention the vicinity of the Yale University and the Skull and Bones as far as the type of people that might be needing this type of a mechanism to trigger these, this spiritual battle that's going on right beneath the surface.
Well, again, AbleChild's focus is informed consent. And the FDA put a black box warning on the drugs because they may cause mania, psychosis, and suicide. And I guess the point that the caller is making is, well taken. But I just would focus more the efforts on asking for the mental health records, because that's where the evidence lies. So theories are definitely out there because people are concerned and they recognize when something doesn't seem right. So my concern is getting these mental health records, and I encourage the caller, I encourage everybody to flood the governor's office in the state of Connecticut and ask for the mental health records. It affects you. Legislation being passed in Connecticut is happening across the country. So the fact is they're using Sandy Hook to get more mental health oppression in the schools and to diagnose your child in public schools, withhold education. And the fact is the more phone calls that the governor Malloy receives today, tomorrow, and the next day saying, where are those records? It benefits us all. So I would say to the caller, put your efforts into making a phone call today to Governor Malloy and ask him where the records are.
Do we have a phone number?
I can get you one.
Okay, before the end of the program, let's get a phone number and let's all call. Let's do that.
That's the kind of actions we need.
Okay. Sounds wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much, Brent.
Okay, I agree with that, and I just wanted to bring that little aspect, as I think we all forget about that there may be a spiritual battle going on just beneath the surface. But I agree, we got to make that phone call today, and we do need informed consent, and we haven't.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so the telephone number is 860.
Hang on, 860.
566. 4840.
860. 566. 4840.
That's correct.
Okay, let's see if we can get 1,000 calls made today.
I would love that, you know, and ask him where Able Child's MedWatch initiative is, why he doesn't feel, why the governor and the state doesn't feel that consumers need access to the MedWatch reporting system. Those are the kind of efforts that's going to turn this investigation around. That's the kind of efforts that's going to unite people into the solution.
Okay.
They would rather us spend a lot of years chit-chatting about this rather than do something.
Okay. And we need to have those psychiatric records regarding Adam Lanza.
That's correct.
Okay. Let's all give the governor's office a call. That number again is 860-566-4840. That will give us an opportunity to feel like we're really doing something. And so I think that sounds good. That's a proactive kind of thing to do.
That is proactive.
Yes. All righty. Did you have another comment?
Are we going to take another call?
Yes. Yes. Brent, you've gone, right? Okay, Brent's not. Let's take Ferner in Canada. Ferner, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Diana, and good afternoon to your guests there. I think this is quite a cesspool, this whole psychiatric profession, what they have been letting themselves to be used for. And I think last week when I phoned up, I gave a little bit of a hint, you know.
Sure.
The psychiatric hitman. And with all those mass shootings and Oklahoma bombing and 9/11, there seems to be a line that goes right across it, and that is always they use patsies. And I think that poor Adam Lanza and his mother, they were patsies.
Go ahead.
Right after it happened there, I came across something where one of the staff at the school, she said the young fella, he was on the at the outside there, and he was desperately wanting her to let him in because he seemed, the way she said, that he was afraid.
Well, I, again, want to focus on the evidence we do have, and remember what the public is reading and what the Hartford Current is posting is all stories. It's all hearsay.
Yeah.
It's not anything that is evidence-based, you know. So I agree that Nancy Lanza is a victim here. She was murdered, and we don't know what occurred. The last witness that saw Nancy Lanza was 8 miles from a renowned children's hospital. Our concern is informed consent regarding clinical drug trials that children might be participating in. If something went wrong, you know, it would benefit Yale, it would benefit the state, it would benefit the consumer to bring that evidence forward. If anything went wrong in the treatment of Adam Lanza that we should know about. America's a very forgiving country. And if we were presented with really what happened, we would, as a country, get into the solution over it. I am sure of it. But with all the holes in the investigative process and the lack of mental health records, we can't help the state and we can't protect our children.
And go ahead.
And I was going to say to your thing about Nancy being a patsy and the psychiatry being a hit person, I would say that there's good people in psychiatry, but it's just like everything. There's good people in every aspect of society, but there are some bad actors. And people in the field of psychiatry should speak out. And I know that there are some that are, and saying that, you know what, this doesn't make sense to me. Even one of the governor's advisory panel members, the psychiatrist, I don't know his name off the top of my head, he's saying this doesn't make sense.
What you mentioned about little babies are already being given psychiatric drugs, how much more of a lunacy do people are willing to take?
That's right.
The psychiatric profession does not clean up their act, so it's high time that the people finally start growing some backbone and stand together. And throw this dirty bunch out that has basically infested that profession, or so-called profession in quotation marks.
I 100% agree with you. It's almost as if the state is acting to protect and cover up anything that they do wrong. I mean, you could just look at Adam Lanza's psychiatrist, Dr. Paul Fox. You know, the fact that he had sex with his patients, had to surrender his license, and now has gone to New Zealand, and we have a mass murder suicide investigation going on, and he's not demanded by the state of Connecticut to come back here and
via Interpol, put an international warrant out for those criminals.
I agree with that.
Alrighty. We are going to a quick 3-minute break. Thank you for your phone call, Werner. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Alrighty, welcome back. Our guest today is Sheila Matthews. She is the co-founder of AbleChild.org. And let's take another caller. Let's take Dan in Texas. Dan, welcome to the program.
Deanna?
Yes.
Okay, allow me to present an example of what you might mean by ask a question and keep it germane. Sheila, a two-part quick question. Is it true that more of these psychiatric drugs are being manufactured in China? And if so, would informed consent include requiring the pharmaceuticals to make full disclosure of any and all safeguard procedures in the manufacturing of these drugs in China? Thank you.
Well, I don't know where they're manufactured, and the second part is absolutely. Informed consent is so critical for our decision-making as a country, as parents, as voters, and if the pharmaceutical companies are manufacturing their drugs in China, they should disclose that, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with the caller.
Okay.
You know, informed consent is critical, and the fact is that the school shootings are rising with the increased use of psychiatric drugs. So we need to be able to track that through the MedWatch program. We need to be able to have a conversation on the national level, whether it's people like that man mentioned, that Wolfgang, that security expert that is being threatened by Newtown police. He should be given a forum to speak out. I was glad to hear his questions. I thought they were relevant to the discussion on security. And we need to continue to have these conversations about Sandy Hook, because in fact, we know that the mental health and drug companies are using Sandy Hook as a vehicle to get access to our tax dollars for mental health and increased security. So we have to have this discussion.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
Okay, so I mean, I think that all the callers have been very concerned, and you know, if anybody is listening today wants to make that phone call to the Connecticut governor saying, why are you excluding Able Child?
Yes.
Why won't you let Able Child in on the conversation, on the discussion on MedWatch, on mental health? Why are you excluding this parent organization? We need your help. Able Child has a small group of volunteers, my co-founder, and we are struggling to keep our organization in existence. We're not the drug companies. We're funded by parents. We're a 501(c) organization. So we're taking on, we took the state on, we battled them for Adam Lanza's records. But that fight isn't over. People think that fight's over. It's not. We have a short session right now up in the state of Connecticut that is going to impact every state in the country, because the President of the United States said I'm using Sandy Hook, I'm going to write an executive order, I'm going to put millions of dollars into mental health, and then is it going to exclude Able Child, a small little parent organization, a national parent organization that's saying, wait a minute, we want to be included, and we want you to support informed consent. And they're losing our testimony?
Yes. Yes,
it's
absolutely
frightening.
All righty. Let's take Frank. Frank in Pennsylvania. Frank?
Okay, Diana, thank you so much for taking my call. Your guess is excellent, as usual. It's so true what the last caller said, because well over the vast majority of people that see a physician for mental health or any physician end up walking out of the office with a prescription. They go down to the pharmacy. They fill it out. They have no idea if the drug is generic, where it was made, the date it was made, the expiration date on the drugs. The people taking the drugs don't even know if it's a counterfeit drug or if it's the real thing. And I think that one of the problems is that there's so much corruption in the pharmaceutical supply chain that it allows for counterfeits to be put in there. And unless somebody blows the whistle, nobody really knows, because everybody's making money from it. And the FDA is way too cozy with the pharmaceutical industry. And I remember years ago, this Fed chairman said a little corruption is good for the system. Well, it's all systems are being corrupted by these type of drugs. And that's just my opinion. That's just the point I'd like to bring out. I think we should focus on the counterfeits that are coming in. And I believe that there has to be strict labeling on where these drugs are being made and the expiration dates on these drugs. And when they were made, those dates should be put on it. And if it's generic, a name brand. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I have, I totally agree with the caller. And in Connecticut, there's a bill that's been just raised, and he can look it up. It's bill number 5262, an act concerning the pharmacy practices of counterfeit drugs. And these are the kind of things that citizens like him need to know about this bill. And he needs to know also that he has a voice in the process. And calling the governor of the state of Connecticut on Able Child's behalf, a small nonprofit that wants to give the consumer the voice, would be a good action for him to take today. You know?
I think so. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Because Able Child wants to be the voice for the consumer on informed consent. It directly relates to pharmaceutical drugs. We testified before the FDA for the black box suicide warning that's placed on their antidepressants. And, you know, Able Child wants to be involved in the conversation. And you having us on the radio today, I cannot thank you enough, because the fact is we're being closed out by the state of Connecticut.
Wow.
Yeah, and I need that to go out there today. I need you to know that the governor and the state of Connecticut said, Able Child, you may not participate. And you know what? We're going to lose your testimony. We're not going to post it publicly, and you're going to have to lose a day to call us up to make sure we do.
Okay. That number is 860-566-4840. Ask about Adam Lanza's medical records. Ask them why they don't pay attention to MedWatch or to AbleChild.org. This is information we all need, not just for Connecticut, not just for the people in Connecticut, not just for the people that regarding the shooting. People need to know about what's going on with the pharmaceutical industry and all these psychiatric drugs.
That's right. I'd encourage everyone to contact their elected official asking for Adam Lanza's mental health records. All you have to do is find out who your representative is right online. Call them up and say, I would like Adam Lanza's mental health records to be made public.
Yes. That is a good idea. Fabulous idea.
Because then everybody across the nation would be doing it.
Yes. Yes. We deserve to know. Darn it.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's quickly take Fred in Michigan. We've only got just a few seconds, Fred, so be real quick. Fred, are you there? Nope, okay.
There? Okay. I'm here.
Okay, Fred, quick. We've got 20 seconds.
Okay. Wolfgang Talbot, you hopefully can interview Deanna. I want to thank Sheila for bringing that up. They're he'll wind up dying of some strange car accident or something. That guy really needs publicity. And Sheila, also the flip side of this, I agree. Deanna's previous guests, like Dr. Daniels and others, have said that the pharmaceutical chemicals have never cured anything. So, especially in the realm of mental health. And what I'm saying is things like Club Moss, St. John's Wort, and even good old 85 or greater percent cocoa chocolate works better than any of these SSRIs.
I think chocolate's the best thing you can make. Oh, Sheila, thank you so much for being on the program today. We've run out of time. Let's get that number again, 860-566-4840. Thank you so much, Sheila.
Thank you. Thank you. Able Child, thanks you.
Thank you. Bye-bye, and thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, listeners. Sorry we couldn't take the last few calls, and we'll talk to you again.